It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. 5:30, we go around the NFL, how we do on our picks week one, plus a little analysis from every game. I got to watch almost all of them because the Commanders played at 4 o'clock yesterday, which means the red zone was fired up on the old TV. But of course, at 5 o'clock on a Monday, it is time for our Mondays with Michael in Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Michael Phillips, of course, of our sister station, 910 The Fan down in Richmond. He joins us now on the hotline. And Michael, appreciate you. How are you doing before we get into the game? How are you personally doing on this Monday?
I feel great because I didn't learn anything yesterday. We'll get into that, but I just feel like every thought we had preseason was largely confirmed, and it turned out a little worse than we thought it would. But I don't know how you could genuinely be surprised by anything that happened.
I actually very much agree with that. I am very much in the it was worse than I expected by a little bit.
Yep.
But it was not catastrophic in any kind of way. And it was like the things that went really poorly are the things that I are expected to go really poorly. So I guess the question is, Mike, what do we make of that? What do we do with that information? Do we just sit here and stew?
Look, the Jaden Daniels touchdown at the start of the second half made it a 9-point game. If you count two field goals, that it's a 3-point game when he scores that touchdown, which is a very different game than the one we're talking about where they never had a chance and they were blown out. And, you know, whether or not you want to count 50 yarders as sure things or not, if they had hit those two field goals, we're talking about a game that they're fundamentally competitive into the finish. I think we have a different conversation this morning. So that's the importance of special teams in the NFL. Welcome, Austin Seibert. Your work is cut out for you. But in terms of the defense, it was absolutely worse than we thought it was going to be. It was really, really bad, and it raises a lot of questions about, you know, where you go from here and what you do from here. And Craig, I am not here to answer those questions, but just to pose them out loud and indignantly, what do you do with that?
Well, I mean, in some ways, Michael, like, I don't want to say good because it's not like, oh, yeah, yesterday was awesome, but it's like, okay, there's a plan. We all, I think a lot of us, I should say, it's certainly I don't want to speak for anyone else, understand the plan. The plan is so far playing out with the flaws that's intended. I guess in that way, it's like, okay, at least there's not extra stuff that's bad. At least some of the stuff that we hoped is good was good. And hopefully with a little bit more rep or some more reps and, you know, cohesion that can develop is better. Like, and so in that way, I guess all of that information that we've talked about so far is good, question mark.
Yeah, you know, you can only bring in new players, but so fast. Now, well, you can bring in new players as quickly as you want. You can only bring in talented players, but so fast. It's a salary cap league, and it's a draft league, and they are allotted a certain number of draft picks. You can turn it into more draft picks, but largely speaking, you're capped in the amount of talent you can bring in any given offseason, and the amount of talent they needed was more than the amount of talent they were able to bring in. I think we all saw last year just the woeful inadequacy of this roster and how badly Ron Rivera's drafts had turned out. And so this year, you know, certainly they're putting in the work. They're bringing in guys, but they're not doing it quickly enough to make a difference. They're not doing it quickly enough that this is going to be right. Yet some people saying this is the Houston Texans this year, right? They had more to work with roster-wise than these guys have to work with. Now, you mentioned the plan. Nobody wants to hear about the plan between week one and week two, Craig. We got 16 more of these to watch. But you're absolutely correct that I'm not down on Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, or the long-term plan at all. If we want to go Cliff Kingsbury, if you want to hit that button, I do have some gripes, but I think they're largely unrelated to the long-term plan.
So I do want to hit on both coordinators, actually, because I I've had the chance to watch it all back on film, so my perspective is a little more adjusted compared to, I think, where a lot of people are, where even if they maybe will watch the film tonight because they're sickos, they have, you know, jobs, and their job isn't this one where they get to sit and watch the film all day and then all of a sudden, quote unquote, start work at 4 o'clock. Even yourself, Michael, who does the same thing I do. You talk into microphones for a living, because Michael Phillips from 910 Fan, who hosts the wonderful radio show MP on the Mic, 10 a.m. to noon every day. His show starts at 10, so you didn't get a chance to watch all the film before your show started this morning. But what are your gripes with Cliff Kingsbury? And then I can tell you what I think of your gripes. I will gripe about your gripes, or I will agree with your gripes based off what I've seen. Gripe away.
And that's a good radio format. I like that. I'm going to steal that for future programming in Richmond.
Excellent.
You can't run Jaden Daniels 16 times. And watching it back, and I'd love to hear your perspective, I do think there were a lot of options or keepers. The one I'm thinking of is the one where he scored the touchdown and they called it back on replay. You are down 3 touchdowns late in a game that you are not going to win. And if you decide to make it a game, Tampa is going to be like, hey, they're making it a game. Let's score another touchdown. And so it's not a game again. So there's no scenario there where you're going to win that game, I don't think, late. And you've got your quarterback, you're stat padding him by throwing him into the defense, subjecting him to another hit on the goal line, completely unnecessarily, in my opinion. Now, if that's an option, I still am a no on that. I think Cliff Kingsbury needs to be the adult in the room. We're giving the ball to Brian Robinson. He's going to score a touchdown. I don't care that you're the first rookie ever to score 2 touchdowns and rush for 80 yards in his debut. That's not a thing we're doing. 16 rushes, Craig, is 3 more than RG3 ever had in his career. It's the same number Lamar Jackson had last Thursday in that Chiefs-Ravens opener when we were all saying the next day, or at least I was saying the next day, dude's not going to make it to the end of the season at this pace.
So I think that a couple of things, some micro, some macro. On the super micro, the carry late in the game, I agree with you. Just freaking hand the ball off. Like, you just don't need to get him a hit there. I don't care if you pull Jeremy McNichols in. Somebody else besides your starting quarterback who everything relies upon can take that hit in that situation. I am with you. I do think it was an option. I do think it was technically the correct decision to keep it. And maybe they call that because they think, hey, if it's going to be open, he'll walk in and he won't take a hit. Well, sometimes that's not how it goes, and a linebacker or safety scrapes over the top, and lucky enough on the execution part, he can power through that guy, but it's still a hit. On the macro, like the most macro, before I get to kind of the middle ground of this game overall, I do think we talk about running quarterbacks taking hits as runners in a very silly way. The biggest hit that Jaden Daniels took yesterday was in the pocket, and that is pretty typical for the biggest quarterbacks. Hits that any quarterback takes is they take them in the pocket because at that point they are thinking about, I am trying to be a passer. When you're a runner, you see the hits coming and you protect your body, and it's a very different kind of impact. Again, it's still impact. There still is kind of a wearing over time. We've seen it with guys like Cam Newton that were used as human battering rams that eventually like get really jacked up Cam's shoulder. But I do think on that front, like we have to be okay with Jaden Daniels being a runner, on some level, because otherwise he's not nearly as effective as a player, which brings us to the what's that level. I counted 7 or 8 scrambles, Michael. So more than half of those are not by design. And while I think a lot of them were actually good decisions to scramble, I do think there's a lot of those where if Jaden just does the either correctly reads the defense within the context of the play, or as it starts to break down, hits an easy check down, he can avoid some of those hits just by quarterbacking better, and that's the nature of a guy playing his first game against a Todd Bowles defense in the NFL.
Hey, he's not the only rookie quarterback who had issues yesterday. Bo Nix averaged like 4 inches per throw. It was, Caleb Williams was lucky that the other quarterback was like, I absolutely insist that your team win this football game. We didn't have the benefit of that in D.C. The other quarterback decided to go ahead and win the football game. You don't get to pick your opponents. That's how football works. That's rookie quarterbacking. There's a lot of them this year. There's a lot of hype, so everybody's going to be tracking them all year long. Certainly the offensive line, I felt like, did not help the situation overall. I think Jaden Daniels got a lot thrown at him by Todd Bowles, and you could probably speak to that more having watched the tape. But, man, that's a good defense that did some good things. When we talk about matchups, right, next week is a better matchup, both for the corners on defense going against Daniel Jones instead of these Tampa receivers, and a better matchup for the offensive line going against a Giants defensive line that I don't think is as good or as innovative as that Giants group. I think a lot of things added up into maybe making it look like more of a disaster than it was.
No, I agree. I mean, the Giants defensive line is stupid talented. I don't think that they're nearly as tricky to decide. Like, Jaden Daniels will feel much more like he's in the preseason against vanilla defenses. All due respect to Shane Bowen. That's just in comparison to Todd Bowles. Like, there are times before the snap that I just pause the tape and I go, what the bleep is this? Because, like, that's facing Todd Bowles. Is you're like, what's that dude doing there? Hey, you don't belong there. What are you doing? And then all of a sudden you look at him, he drops out, and then you realize that probably means someone's going to come from my ouch, and then you're getting hit. That is the nature of facing Bowles. But defensively for Washington, Michael Phillips with us here on a Michael Monday on the Team 980. Of course, this is what we do every Monday after the Commanders play for Not My Beat. So, Michael, on the other side of it, though, I think that's the side of the ball where fans go, oh my God, we're still doing this far more than on the offense. What did you make of some of the key issues they had defensively?
Yeah, and you know, I think that the late game runs, it looked like Tampa was kind of communicating its game plan, like we're going to run the ball up the middle, run the clock. When those are going for 11, 12, 14 yards, this was a demoralized, gash defense. It's hot down there too. Don't undersell that. That humidity is the real deal. Temperature is the real deal. You know, those guys are worn out. Johnny Newton wasn't there. So I don't think Payne and Allen have any long term.
Pop quiz, Michael, in the middle of your answer. I'm interrupting you. Who is number 64?
Who is number 64?
I believe his name is Sheldon Day. I didn't know he was on the team until I watched the film back today and they had who was on the field on the side of the screen.
That's Sheldon Day.
He must have gotten activated on Saturday from a practice squad spot that I didn't know he had. That's who replaced Johnny Newton.
Wow. That's not great news for Federian Mathis, by the way.
Well, no, he was out there with Federian, but they didn't, you know, after they traded Ridgeway, like they only had four inside, Newton being the fourth, and so he's out, and thus they brought up someone from the practice squad, and it was not one of the guys they had in camp. It was Sheldon Day, who they signed at some point in the previous week.
How about that? You learn something every day. It's been an educational program today. Sheldon Day. All right. Yeah. I don't think there's long-term issues. There were some individual plays you can cite. I want to throw a little bit of maybe a little pump the brakes, throw a little cold water on. You know, Jamin Davis got 14 snaps, and I see people saying, man, he needed more snaps. And I think they're remembering the one great play he had, which was a really cool play, blew up the run. I think he's a situational guy. I think he's a guy you put in there when you know what the down and distance is, when you're not at risk of him getting caught out in coverage. I think that's probably about the right number for him. But it's just so hard for me to talk about macro the defense when you got two corners that got torched all day long. And I mean, that was the story of the game. If they give you even a little bit of something, I think this is, you know, add in the field goals, add in maybe one or two stops, this is potentially a different story we're telling. But for Jamin Davis, man, two penalties in one play, it's actually hard to do, Craig. It's kind of impressive.
You mean Emmanuel Forbes on the deep one?
I'm sorry. I was talking about Davis. Yes, Emmanuel Forbes, the face.
You don't need to take your cold water on Jamin Davis to go straight to besmirching falsely. Michael,
yeah, that was,
you used
that
to have
was.
Integrity. What happened
Fake
to
news.
You?
Exactly.
I do agree with you, though. The Forbes stuff is bad, and I think what's worse for him is I had written down in my notes not playing hard enough before that, you know, obviously I didn't write that after because he didn't play at all after. So, I you know, it's tough because I do think the pass rush has a lot to do with this, where they just everything was so easy for Baker. He took a couple of hits, but not many. And certainly, I guess I don't want to say easy because there's times where he scrambled, obviously, and like that was difficult, but it ultimately he made plays. And there's also times where like the first third down of the game, they bring a zone blitz and it doesn't get home. And all of a sudden, Dorrance Armstrong is stuck in space on Chris Godwin. That's not a Dorrance Armstrong issue, nor is that a corner's issue. That's a, hey, we brought a blitz and it didn't get home issue. And so what I'm really curious to talk to Logan about tomorrow when we take command and go deeper into it with his level of expertise and to kind of watch as the season goes on, Michael, is like, is it possible to generate pressure, or is this the level of test that St. Juice and whoever is playing opposite him is going to face all year long? In which case, yikes, bro, I don't want to be either of those men.
Yeah, right. That's the thing where you win, you lose. It's week one. You don't want to overreact either way. It just feels like some of these are problems that are not fixable in the sense of the bounds of this football season and the 16 games they're about to play. And that's what's really, I think, discouraging to fans this morning. Look, we'll make the investment. We'll watch the games, and we'll certainly watch Jaden Daniels learn and grow and develop. That's absolutely the number one storyline this season and the number one most important thing. But defensively, it just, you know, and they could have a good performance against the Giants because, again, it's Daniel Jones. The receiver caliber is less. The Daniel Jones caliber is less. But there's the sense that this is maybe not something that's going to get fixed.
No, that is true. Okay, I'm going to do something to you that your colleague Adam Epstein did to me because I was on his show today, and Adam was just getting saltier and saltier, and it wasn't because he was broadcasting live from a pub and possibly eating French fries. It was because his attitude was getting just saltier and saltier, Michael, by his own admission. But he's like, give me something positive to chew on here at the end of our chat. So, Michael, if I'm forcing you to give something positive from yesterday, shout out someone, give me a positive here that you can take into Giants Week and be like, hey, if some more folks can join that guy, hopefully we can beat up on Big Blue because they stink. What's your positivity coming out of week one?
Ready for the positives and negatives. Terry McLaurin wasn't involved at all, and he will be. And this is an offense that did actually move the ball all right in large chunks of the game. Two drives that, you know, had big chunks of field, and then, you know, you missed the field goal at the end, but the drives are good. A lot of scoring play drives. That, you know, the NFL average last year was 22 points per game, and they were on that, and they'll continue to be on that. And you haven't seen what Terry McLaurin's fully capable of. And it looks like Luke McCaffrey's going to be a regular. And I'm excited to see what that turns into over the course of a season. I think for the offense, there's no reason to be unnecessarily down. I think there's a lot of bright sides to look at. I thought Bobby Wagner played with intensity and effort, all those things you know Bobby Wagner for. But it was still fun to see that in a Commander's uniform, right? Like, it's still cool to see him do that and, like, be on the home team, you know, and in the burgundy and gold. And like that was cool to see a guy like that playing at that level, even in the midst of a losing effort. And Tressway's on this team, Craig. Tressway.
Tressway, number 10, still number one in our hearts. That's
always.
That's for sure. I will say with Terry, I feel like there was a plan to get him some shots, and Tampa was like, no freaking way. And yet still, the one to start the second half, he's wide open. There is another dagger play where he's running up the seam, and Michael, he is screaming wide open. And Jaden is looking, what looks to me on the all 22 end zone angle, I'm watching that helmet stripe going, buddy, you're looking right at him. Throw it. He could have easily had four, like just those two are completed. It's four catches for $150 and two touchdowns, and no one's talking about Terry today other than, man, that guy's awesome. Thank God he's on our team. I do think they need to force feed him the ball early, but I agree with you, is like, there's enough on tape where I'm like, I feel like they know how important Terry is. They might have to crank up and realize like how intentional they're going to have to be about getting him the ball. But there were some stuff dialed up for him, and Jaden's willing to throw it most of the time, except for that one where he missed him. And so I'm kind of, you know, as bad as and unproductive as Terry was in the stats yesterday, I'm kind of excited about Terry starting next week.
I agree. I think there's a lot to look forward to. I think this is a big game, though. It's a sneaky big early game because Daniel Jones and the Giants offense, that's about as easy of a test as you're going to get for a defense. So I feel like this is, if that was, you know, maybe what the defense is going to look like against some of the better teams in the league and better offenses, we need to set the floor this week as well. And hopefully the floor gets set higher than maybe I'm worried it's going to be set right now.
Well, I will say, don't forget, because I don't want to jinx it, not mention it and thus jinx it. Daniel Jones turns into some, you know, Tom Brady-like figure against the Commanders historically. So I don't know if they got to wear the black uniforms on the road or something to confuse him, but we can't have that version of Daniel Jones. Also, speaking of personal vendettas, it just popped into my mind. I'm pretty sure Terry McLaurin hates Deontay Banks. That's a thing that's somewhere in my head from last year, is like Deontay Banks was talking a lot, and Terry was eventually like, bleep you, dude, my quarterbacks are terrible. And he still like got a couple of big catches on him and was like, if I ever get a quarterback, I'm going to murder you. And now he's got a quarterback. So that could be fun. Just a little something to put in the back of your mind, brain. And we can talk about it next Monday. That's Michael Phillips, everybody. If you want more from him, 10 a.m. to noon on 910 The Fan in Richmond, which you can listen to on the free Odyssey app. Michael, thank you for your time as always. And have a great rest of the week of shows. And I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, this is Michael Phillips, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. I do want to, real quick, Brian T. Beal on the YouTube chat, Anthony, is bringing up stuff that I want to respond to. So I'm gonna quickly, like a 30-second response to old Brian T. Beal. Keeping Terry on the left side is very vanilla, unimaginative. Brian, look at the camera here as opposed to the chat over here. Brian, left is a direction, not an alignment. What do I mean by that? Terry in this game lined up wide left. He lined up on the outside of a stack to the left. He was the most outer guy in a bunch to the left. He also lined up tight to the line of scrimmage. He might have been the most outside guy there because they just kind of almost lined him up in a tight end type of split, and there was no one outside of him. Technically, he is wide left there, but he's not wide. It's just you get a credit as being wide because there's no one outside of you. He also did line up in the slot at least six times per PFF on 30-something pass routes, which is about 20% of the time they passed the ball, he was in the slot, including a slot fade that Jaden threw him. He probably shouldn't have. He probably should have been a touch more patient, and he had Zach Ertz over the middle. But I also didn't mind the idea of giving Terry that shot out of the slot. So, again, quit always just regurgitating the thing that you see on Twitter, including, by the way, if I tweet it. Like, use eyeballs. Watch a little bit more. Did you come out of that game yesterday being like, oh man, Terry's on the left, unimaginative? No, you were like, wow, look at all the different formations they use. Look at all the places they put all these different players. Look at Terry sometimes lined up next to Olamide Zaccheaus, and sometimes next to Austin Ekeler, sometimes next to Zach Ertz, and go, wow, that's a lot of different stuff. They were multiple. Yes, Terry's going to line up to the left a lot, but it doesn't mean that they're not being that they're being unimaginative or vanilla. That offense is not vanilla. I refuse to give in on that one. Okay, that's my 30-second. That was probably closer to 60 rant on the Terry on the left side thing. Anything else you'd like to add, Anthony?
It was actually 113, but that's it.
Okay, thanks for counting. When we get back around the NFL, we go. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6 o'clock, our pick six at six. We take a look at the six players we thought Friday would be the most interesting to watch in the Commanders-Bucks game, and we get to see how they did. Hey, how'd that guy play? Well, beauty of the way NFL Pro works now, Anthony, is that I've got a pretty good sense of a lot of this stuff because I've watched every single snap of that silly game on the coach's tape. What a way to spend your Monday.
I mean, I don't think it was a terrible way to spend your Monday, you know?
It was interesting.
Yeah.
I'll say that much. I don't know if it was the most enjoyable.
I think that's the best word to use.
But it was interesting. You know what was enjoyable, though? Yesterday, I just got to sit back in the 1 o'clock window, fire up Red Zone. I also took the dive. I got a Sunday ticket. And so I had Red Zone on the main TV. I had my iPad up and I was flipping around between some non-NFL stuff, US Open, Liberty Aces. But then also I was like, I want to watch Caleb Williams and I don't want to miss a snap. So I put Titans Bears on my iPad for most of the 1 o'clock window. And it was really enjoyable. And that means as we hit around the NFL, I have thoughts from basically every game because I watched most of them. And also, we have picks results. Week one, how'd we do? Plus, we need to pick Jets 49ers. Are we going to pick Jets 49ers now so we don't forget? Or did we already?
No, we haven't picked it.
Let's do it now so we don't forget. Okay. Jets 49ers, who you got tonight?
I'm going with the Jets.
I'm going with the 49ers. I have zero trust in the Jets.
I already knew where you were going to go. I just didn't want to, you know, have the same team.
Okay.
I think also Aaron Rodgers, been seeing a lot of reports. He looks really good. I think the defense is going to go out there Why'd you do that?
Because he looks really good. It's training camp. You realize how bad you have to be to not look good in training camp? Did we learn nothing yesterday? Are we not about to go around the entire league and talk about all these players that looked awesome in training camp that struggled yesterday?
You're right. You're right, Craig. You're right. But so, for some reason, I feel as though Aaron freaking Rodgers is going to answer the call tonight. Let's go, A-Rod.
He might. And their defense is great. And Garrett Wilson is great. And Breece Hall is
great. Breece Hall, baby.
I think the Jets are a legitimately solid football team. I think the 49ers are an excellent football team.
Yes.
And I think they're a little bit pissed that everyone's just kind of overlooking them because of all the drama they had this offseason. If Kyle can get them focused slash they can focus themselves, guys like Fred Warner and you know all the leaders on that team can be, which by the way includes Trent, can be like, hey, all that stuff didn't matter. Let's go out and remind the world who we are. I think they'll be just fine. I'll take San Francisco tonight. All right, we talked about Ravens-Chiefs, obviously, last week. I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch a ton of Packers-Eagles on Friday night. I was exhausted, and that game was late. But Eagles win 34-29. I think that's actually a 1-0 for you on the picks front, Anthony.
So you were up 1-0 because of the Chiefs-Ravens?
Right, and then we're tied 1-1 going into the weekend because you had the Eagles and I had the Packers.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, the big story of this one is that Jordan Love got hurt at the very end of it. Torn MCL, I believe, was the diagnosis. He's out at least 4 weeks. He's been put on IR, and we'll see what the... I got that right? I didn't make that up?
What?
Jordan Love out 4 weeks, MCL. I'm remembering that correctly from the weekend.
I don't know if the timeline is all the way out, but...
At least, I mean, if he's on IR, he's out at least 5 weeks. Or, sorry, at least 4 weeks.
Yeah, I know earlier today, LaFleur was asked if he can't play, will Malik Willis play?
I guess, no, he hasn't been put on IR yet.
Yeah, he hasn't. Yeah, they haven't done that yet. They did that for Puka Nacua, though. He's on IR.
Yes. So, maybe I'm just getting all the mush of my football brain. Confused. Yes. Malik Willis will start if Jordan Love is out. So I guess that's good news that he's avoided. Oh, that's what the news was. He avoided ACL. Yeah. So that's good. There was someone else who avoided ACL and had an MCL. I thought it was Love. It wasn't. But he's avoided ACL. He is week to week, and Malik Willis will start this weekend if Jordan Love cannot play. I mean, other than that, obviously, Saquon Barkley, you see the impact. He has 24 carries, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a receiving touchdown. It's like, oh, yeah, you put him with good offensive line and good other players, and he's going to be awesome.
It's not even fair, man, that offense that they have. And I feel like they're one of those teams that's sort of kind of being underlooked. But I think if their offense can carry them, I still have questions about their defense. I think if the offense can carry them, though, I think they'll be solid. But don't go away from the run, and that's what teams usually do.
Yeah, no, they'll be dedicated to it. Saquon, obviously, Jalen also, you know, has got to be a part of it. He has 13 carries for 33 yards, but just the threat of him can make the numbers better for Saquon and get him in space, and yikes, man. I love the way Philly also, like, they get their guys the ball. And this has always been my thing with multiple iterations of the Washington offenses is, like, how do you get Terry 10 targets a game? A.J. Brown has 10. He only catches 5, but those 5 go for 119, almost 24 a catch, a touchdown, including a 67-yarder. Devontae Smith has 8 targets, 7 catches, 84 yards. Dallas Goedert's got 5. So you got to find ways to get your playmakers the ball, and they did a really good job. Meanwhile, if you're trying to play the Packers, who's going to be the number one wide receiver in fantasy game, Jaden Reed. Seems like he's the leader in the clubhouse. 4 catches, 138, including a 70-yard touchdown. Romeo Doubs also 4 catches. He had 50 yards. He was actually the leader in targets with 7. Christian Watson, 5. So they're moving it around a little bit. Tucker Kraft's got 3. Luke Musgrave's got 2. Dontavian Wicks, no catches, but 3 targets. So they're spreading the ball around, and I'm curious to see week to week how much that fluctuates, Anthony, both for real and fantasy purposes.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, though, especially if Jordan Love's out, though. Like, I feel like we won't really get a true assessment of the wide receiver core until he gets back. And there's no shade to Malik Willis. I just think...
No, shade to Malik Willis. Like, he's not very good at NFL quarterback.
Okay.
But, like, let's also see, right?
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur's a kind of a quarterback whisperer. Like, he's awesome. And I'm curious to see what the game plan looks like. You know, how fast they can get him up to speed on some extremely watered down version of what they want to do, and they'll probably run him 15 times, like by design.
Smart, though.
Absolutely. He's ridiculously athletic. He is the kind of athlete that can be a weapon in the run game. So how do you utilize that and then leverage whatever you can get out of him as a passer? The Kirk Cousins debut in Atlanta, ooh, that did not go well. Looked incredibly rusty. Steelers 18-10 the win, and just Kirk had some like old, like young Kirk, what are you doing, man, type of plays in there. I was kind of surprised at that, Anthony, because again, this dude was playing the best ball of his career when he got hurt last year. I guess it's probably totally fair to anticipate some level of rust, but I'm sure the Falcons are very much hoping that he gets that turned around. Otherwise, that Michael Penix thing is going to get real awkward real fast.
Yeah, he's at times he sort of kind of looked like a statue, wasn't as mobile, but TJ Watt is on that Steelers
that
defensive line.
That is also a very good point. That is astute analysis. Also, TJ Watt.
Craig, when I tell you this guy was destroyed, it didn't matter like if they chipped him, it didn't matter if they had a tight end there, it didn't matter what they did, TJ Watt was making his presence felt. And guess what? When you had three guys on TJ, Alex Highsmith was the other guy on the other side. Oh, and if you want a single coverage him, all right, we also have Casey Hayward. So I just think the front four of the Steelers, like they didn't have to send that many blitzes just because, you know, TJ and the rest of the crew was getting home. So I can't blame.
TJ Watt still might be the best player in football, like best defensive player in football. It is disgusting when he gets going.
Oh my God.
He is unblockable. I've watched him ruin more games. I mean, the Steelers, obviously, we talk about them having a plus 500 record for every year Tomlin's been there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to know what the record is when Watt is there. Because, like, in some of the playoff losses, he's been out, including last year. They are a totally different team when he's there. It's
And they got Minka back. Yeah, I think he had an interception yesterday.
It was very close.
Yeah, I thought it was an interception. Defense looked good.
It did. I mean, the Falcons defense, your favorite unit in the NFL, looked all right. Justin Simmons and all those guys, they only gave up 18 points.
They did good.
You should win a game in which you give up 18 points.
Yeah.
They did not. The Cardinals are like, man, we should win a game if we score 28. Not against the Bills. Not against overrated, quote-unquote, Josh Allen, according to Anthony. Allen, 232, two touchdowns, also effective on the ground. 34-28, Bills were down in this game early. They come back and get the win.
It was looking good for the Cardinals early on. And, the Cardinals were just being the Cardinals at the end of the day. Josh Allen, I'm not going to lie, he did it all yesterday. He ran, he threw. He looked good.
He was Josh Allen.
Yeah.
That's why he's not underrated.
He looked good. I still feel he's not in my top five. He's not in mine.
I'll take him.
All right.
Bears, Titans. What an ugly start for the Bears. They were down 17-0 in this game. Their rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams, threw for under 100 yards in his debut. Looked real lost. Balls hitting the turf. Like, it was nasty. And they won 24-17. Their defense and special team come up huge. They have a block punt return for a touchdown. And that return was actually made by Mr. Simone Biles himself, Jonathan Owens. I was a little disappointed in my good friend Adam Amin, who was calling this game. He very clearly should have said Owens sticks the landing. Punt,
ooh,
blocked,
was,
Owens, scoop, scores, sticks the landing. It's right there, Adam.
Next time.
Next time.
Next time.
Next time. But alas, they also got a pick six. Jalen Johnson seals it with an interception. The pick six, by the way, just one of the dumbest throws that anyone has ever made in the NFL. Long list of dumbest throws in NFL history, but add this one to the real. Will Levis trying to like scoop the ball out of bounds, just right to the Bears DB. 24-17. Chicago, the win. And by the way, they covered, which is one in the competition Wednesday books for me. This one was also in the competition books Wednesday for me on the positive side, although I didn't know that they were going to win straight up. Patriots 16, Bengals 10. Are we officially hitting the panic button if we're in Cincinnati?
You might just have to, man.
Yeah. You lost to the Patriots.
That's a bad loss.
Real bad loss. Really bad. Really, really, really bad. Their offense, pretty inept on the day. Burrow throws for just 164 yards. Doesn't get the ball downfield at all. Jamar Chase plays six catches on six targets for 62. So, like, that's an okay day for Jamar Chase. Good job kind of containing him. But when he's not out there for the full complement of snaps and you're without T. Higgins, now you're without Tyler Boyd, like, they've got to find who the next guys are. And
they have not done that yet. Defensively, obviously have some questions as well. But Burrow, and in the rushing game, by the way, only 3 carries, 11 yards for Chase Brown. Zach Moss, 9 for 44. They're trying to replace Joe Mixon. Doesn't look like they have that replacement. And that's going to make the kind of offense they run a lot harder. You have to have some, like, you don't have to have a great running game, but you have to have some level of fear. And the Patriots, by the way, are a good defense. And that play-action heavy game that they like to run off that McVay tree, not so good. Texans 29, Colts 27. Man, I thought Indy might pull this out. One of the absolute sickest throws you will ever see on the first touchdown from Anthony Richardson.
Man.
Traveled, I think it was 65.3 yards in the air. That is the third longest throw on a touchdown in the next-gen stats era. Unfortunately, while that throw certainly did not come up short, the Colts' comeback attempt does. Stroud, 2 touchdowns. Mixon, speaking of, 30 carries, 159 and a touchdown. Texans get out to the early lead in the AFC South.
Man, when I tell you Joe Mixon literally won them that game just because of just how physical he was. Like, he's bouncing off tacklers. And to the fact that he was able to go out there and put up 160 on the ground, like, CJ really didn't even have to do too much. And that's scary because we know he can, you know, go out there and carve up a defense. And he just made the timely throws. That third down to Nico Collins, that's a huge throw, huge catch.
Ridiculous throw.
And you got to know, he's going to Nico Collins on third down every single time they need to play. So, shouts out to the Texans. I'll see them October 27th. I have that day circled. I'll be visiting Houston or Colts, Texas. They got to get it back.
The rematch. by the way, how are we doing on picks? I was on the Bears. So were you?
Yes, we're doing. You're 3-4. I'm 2-5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rough start. Jags and Dolphins. This was almost a bad start for Miami. Of course, the big story in this game is the absolutely insane scene beforehand where Tyreek Hill is cited for some kind of traffic violation and winds up on the ground in handcuffs. We'll talk about that story more tomorrow and as the week goes, as more comes out on it, because I have some thoughts. But man, for him to then go out and score, Tua hitting some of the big throws down the field, gutsy performance. Jalen Ramsey winds up playing in this game for Miami. They didn't think he was going to, but on a limited snap count. In fact, he had a big penalty, if I'm remembering correctly, that gave Jags a big opportunity. But at the end of the day, like, they gut it out, and the Jags get shut out in the second half. And that's just not good enough from Trevor Lawrence and company. And Miami gets off to not maybe the 1-0 start stylistically they imagine, but a win's a win, and they'll take it.
Yeah, the Jags have this one in the bag, Craig. Travis Etienne, he's on the doorstep of the goal line. Gets the ball punched out. The Dolphins recover. They go down, kick the field goal. That's a heartbreaking loss right there. Could you drive the length of the field only for that to happen? That's tough. But that's why they say games are 60 minutes. You got to play until the last whistle.
And field's 100 yards long. Every single inch matters.
Yep, every
there's a couple of plays like that where guys had balls knocked out right at the goal line, and red zone interceptions, the whole deal. Saints 47-10 over Carolina. This could be a very long year for the Panthers. If you thought, it was deja vu all over again for the Commanders, my God, being a Panthers fan yesterday must have stunk. Are the Saints better than we thought? Maybe. We'll find out, the rest of the season. Is Carolina this bad? I don't know. I think if you're Carolina, you're hoping that your season maybe mimics like the Cardinals last year, where you get better as it goes, but you can be more competitive as it goes. But I just, man, yikes.
They got
bad. Is Bryce Young broken? Like, does he just suck?
I don't know. I think it's a combination of things. The talent around him, the offensive line,
Bro, he was 13.
He's small. Like,
it's all of it. He was 13 of 30 yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, he looked like one of these rookie quarterbacks.
Oh, I just hope that I liked him a lot coming out. I think he's like a smart kid and seems to be a great human being. You root for people like that, but dang, man, I hope that they didn't ruin him already.
Yeah.
Not maybe he was always going to be bad at the NFL, but Vikings 28, Giants 6. Mark this one down for Hoffman. The Giants, real bad. We'll see if they can bounce back next week. They were real bad in week one last year as well, and were able to bounce back a little bit as the season went and be much more competitive. But Vikings did exactly what I thought they would. Hey, where's Justin Jefferson? That's the Sam Darnold plan. Find Justin Jefferson. 4 catches, 59 yards, touchdown. A bunch of those were in big spots. Meanwhile, ran the ball effectively. 14 carries, 94 yards for Aaron Jones in his Minnesota debut. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones, brutal day. 22 of 42, 186, no touchdowns, 2 picks. A 17.4 QBR. They didn't do much on the ground either. Jones just 15 yards rushing. Singletary, 37. Malik Nabers, a nice enough debut. They got him 7 targets. Caught 5 for 66. But, man, this Giants team does not look like it's very good. Jones looks like he's very bad. And Justin Jefferson is awesome.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought the Giants were going to be able to do this. I think this just goes back to, you know, show how bad I am about, you know, when it comes to picking games. But, you know, next week I'll do better because more than likely Daniel Jones is going to have a very good outing against the Commanders. But, Craig, I saw this fascinating stat. Since Daniel Jones signed his $160 million deal, he's thrown more pick sixes than he has touchdowns. He has thrown 3 pick sixes and only 2 touchdowns.
That is not good. That's my analysis, Anthony. That's
not
bad.
Good.
Really, really bad. Raiders go down in L.A. 22-10. Chargers get their first win of the Jim Harbaugh era. And boy, was it a Harbaugh kind of game. Yep. J.K. Dobbins, 10 carries, 135. Edwards, 11 carries for 26. They ran the ball 27 times as a team. They only threw it 26. Herbert, a tidy 17 of 26, 144 yards, 1 touchdown. Average completion of 5.5 yards. Just kept it nice and easy. Ladd McConkey doing work. 5 catches, 39 yards for the rookie out of Georgia. Khalil Mack, showing that he's still got some juice left. And we're one. What did I tell you on Friday? One Raiders loss, one day closer to, and one game closer to Davante Adams saying, "Get me the hell out of here."
Yeah. I didn't expect, you know, the offense to look that inept. I expect the bigger things from Gardner Minshew, just being honest. He looked good last year with the Colts in spots, and I thought he was going to be able to bounce back. But shout out to the Chargers. I don't know if Justin Herbert is going to be content with, you know, throwing the ball 5-10 yards down the field because we know he has a big arm.
If it wins,
I guess
he's,
so.
He's pretty. It seems like he's a pretty low key guy, and it's kind of, like the criticism is he's always been pretty robotic. So if it's like, hey, boop boop boop, program robot, throw short, unless someone's wide open deep. I mean, they'll find their spots, but yeah. They're gonna. I kind of think that the Alex Smith saying that he used to like a lot. You can't go broke making a profit. Yeah. I think Jim Harbaugh is a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Seahawks 26, Broncos 20. Geno, touchdown, a pick, 171. Kenneth Walker, the big producer for Seattle, 20 carries, 103 and a touch on the ground. Bo Nix, I have to look it up real quick, and I don't feel like it, but his average depth of target was like almost negative. They just dink and dunk. It didn't really get anywhere. He does get a rushing touchdown, but kind of a rough debut. They still put up 20 points, but not enough against the talented Seahawks team that starts 1-0 at home.
Yeah, Geno looked good. He also had a huge scramble. And I think Bo Nix is going to be good. I just think he needs a little time. That's all.
He definitely needs time. Cowboys 33-17 over the Browns. Devontae Turpin, a 60-yard punt return. Dak Prescott, 19 of 32. 1 touchdown, no picks, and
231 guaranteed.
Yeah, $1 million. Biggest contract in NFL history. Congrats to him. I just don't understand if you're – like, it just goes to prove. I mean, congrats on the Cowboys. You played really well. Looks like you're going to be good. You see some discipline on defense, and you're like, okay, this – you know, I think this is good. Deshaun Watson still looks awful. And you know, that's the worst contract in football. But for Dak and the Cowboys, it's like, why did you just make him the highest paid player in football in April or last April. And then it would have cost you a lot less and the timeline would have been better. Now you're paying him till he's 34 years old. Like, you could have done this 2 years ago probably and gotten him till he was 32 and then made a decision then on what you wanted to do. It's just the Cowboys wait until we make him the highest paid player anyway and give him the contract, which, by the way, is more expensive because three other guys have signed and raised the market. It's just the dumbest contract strategy in sports, and they do it every single time, Anthony.
Well, for a Commanders fan, I think that's good.
Because, and we approve that message.
We approve it. You keep doing that. We know it's malpractice, but you keep doing that, sir. You keep doing it. You keep messing it up.
We will take it. by the way, can I find this real quick? Is the A-dot on here? I was trying to look at the stats per game. Advanced metrics. A average, your air yards per attempt. There we go. Bo Nix yesterday. Oh, he wasn't last. He was, there's 6.1. Jaden Daniels actually was less, 5.2. Baker Mayfield, just 5. In case you're wondering, Gardner Minshew, lowest on the day, 4.4. Okay, anyway, enough of the next-gen stats. Last but not least, last night, Rams go down in overtime to the Lions, 26-20. David Montgomery gets into the end zone to cap things off. Big day for Jameson Williams, 5 catches, 121, and a touchdown, Anthony. Lions and Rams. Like, craziest stat, we'll wrap up the around the league breakdown with this. Every single 2023 playoff team won in week one, except for the ones that played another 2023 playoff team. There is not a single team that made the playoffs last year that lost to a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. Dang. Which shows you the power of continuity, because most of those teams have same head coach, same quarterback, same, you know, key players. That is kind of what we see in week one. The question is going to be, how do these other teams develop and come together and coalesce over the course of the season? But I think what you take out of that, the last game of the Sunday slate is the same as I take out of the first game of the weekend, and frankly the second, Thursday and Friday's games, two good football teams playing good ball, and we'll see if they can sustain it over the course of the season. All right, when we get back, our pick 6 at 6, 6 key players that we identified Friday that would hold the keys to the Commanders playing well. How did they do, as the Commanders didn't play particularly well? That's next on the Team 980.